Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yeah, here's a thought.
Here's John Williams.
Not Minneapolis. We get that going for us. 109, this is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Thanks for tuning in to our little show here. It's going to be a real little one. We're going to go wait all the way till 2 o'clock, and then warm, sunny baseball from California as the White Sox take on the Oakland Athletics or whatever. Crying out loud. Hopefully we'll win this game, but if nothing else, baseball on the radio today here, and you can't say that on the north side. They canceled another game. Anthony Rizzo's right. We play too much baseball. I mentioned that to somebody, and they said, well, do the players want to take less money? I said, that's not the question. The question is, do the owners want to take less money? If you're an owner of a baseball team and you make money, 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 you have 160 days to make it, 162. You want to do it for 140? You want to take one-eighth of less or whatever that is of money this year? I mean, that's a pay cut to the owners. I'll bet you they don't want to do that. I'll bet the teams don't want to give up the revenue. They'll march the players out there for 200. They got more teams in the playoffs than they used to, and that's not because they like the teams. It's because they like the money, 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 money.
Do you know what percentage of their revenue comes from attendance?
93%.
Really?
Have no idea.
Oh, John.
I would imagine number one is TV. Number two is beer.
No, but I do. I just wonder if it's still economically feasible for them to play with before empty crowds, empty stands, because the money's so good on TV.
Well, let's look at it this way. I can figure it out real fast. And by that, I mean Elif can figure it out real fast. Say a team does 2 million spectators a year at $20 a ticket. That's $40 million in revenue. Divide that by 162 games. That'll tell you what you get per game. And then multiply that by 20. And then subtract from the gate of the year, and that'll tell you what they are going to lose.
So what else is on the show today, John?
Barbara Bush passed away, and you knew that her health was not well, and her husband, George, 41's health has not been great either. And so the country sort of just hit pause for a moment, and I think rightly remembered Barbara Bush. Here at WGN Radio, we recollected that in 1984, she wrote a book called See Fred's Story about their Cocker Spaniel, Fred. And it was part of her literacy program. And I don't think of Barbara's voice that much. I think of her son. I think of her husband. I think of her other son. I think of the Bushes. But you don't hear Barbara's voice in your head so much. But here she was with our Roy Leonard in 1984.
I will predict right now, Mrs. Bush, that See Fred's Story by C. Fred Bush and edited slightly by Barbara Bush will probably become one of the great gift items of 1984. I'll be honest, I can think of a dozen people that I would like to give this book to.
That's because you're a Cocker Spaniel,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, see, nice. I mean, they are lovable.
They are. Fred's a funny fella. I mean, he really is. He's been furious this week with all the discussion about old age. Because, you know, Fred is 11.
Wow, now let's see, 11 would be what, 70?
77.
77.
And you remember last week or two, the poor governor of wherever it was made the comment, Governor Lamb, about old age?
Unfortunately.
Well, I mean, he may have had a very good purpose, but Fred took it very personally. And then there were several articles about Fred in the paper, and they suggested things like Fred was getting a lot older, that we had picked a younger picture for the cover of the book.
No.
Now, that's shocking.
Oh, my.
Then someone suggested that, you know how owners begin to look like their dogs?
I have heard.
Well, I have white hair, and people said that Fred's white hair was beginning to show, and they questioned, would he or wouldn't he, in the Washington Post. So he's been very upset about old age.
And well, I can see why he probably didn't want to go on the road.
Not at all.
No.
He says he has laryngitis, but yes, that's not really true.
Where'd you find C. Fred?
Well, I didn't find him. He was given to me as a present on a birthday from our fourth son. Charged it to his father, I think, but in any case, he gave it to me. And both George and I really didn't want a Cocker Spaniel. We'd never had one. We always thought they were sort of fat and spoiled and a little dumb. And Fred has spent the last 11 years telling us that we're the dumb ones and he's the smart one.
Do you think that...
Barbara Bush and R. Roy Leonard. The whole interview is posted at WGNradio.com. And you hear quite a few things when you listen to it. You listen to a different kind of first lady. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton being so playful? Or the current first lady? I think Michelle Obama was pretty able to bridge serious and playful. She knew her role, but she defined her role. But Barbara was no froth. I mean, she wrote this book and had that interview, but it was about literacy for kids. And she also talked about the role she played with her husband. And it was, it's just a delightful interview. And you can hear that at WGNradio.com. You can also hear here right now some of the audio from that Southwest flight. Did you listen to any of the cockpit transmissions between the pilot, Tammy Jo Schultz, and the air traffic controllers that were dealing with her as she tried to land that Southwest Airlines? Forget about Sully. I mean, here's who you want flying your airplane. Tammy Jo Schultz. Oh, my God. She was otherworldly calm when one of the engines is not only on fire, it blasts into pieces. Shrapnel goes through the window. A passenger is killed, nearly sucked out of the window. It's a horror scene that all of us have had in our nightmares. Happened on her plane. And she's aware of this as she's landing it. Now, you know how calm Sully was.
A Cactus 1539 hit birds. We've lost thrust on both engines returning back towards LaGuardia.
Tower, stop your departure. He's got emergency returning. He, bird strike. He lost all engine. He lost the thrust in the engines. He's returning immediately.
Cactus 1529, which engines?
He lost thrust in both engines, he said.
Got it.
See, do you want to try to land 1013?
We're unable. We may end up in the Hudson.
We're unable. We may end up in the Hudson. I got this one, says Sully. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Brace yourself, he says. I know. If I was in that thing, oh my God, the first thing would be,
we're going to need another adult diaper up here. This is the captain on the flight deck. Does anybody have an adult diaper?
Even the guy responding, how many engines?
I know. I love this voice because he cannot believe what he just heard. And you get some of that on this Southwest flight. I'll tell you another famous pilot that you want flying your plane, Denzel Washington.
We are in a dive.
I have no control on my side.
We going down?
Everybody in brace positions. Listen to me. Trim us nose down. We're going to roll it.
What do you mean roll it?
Ready? Here we go.
And if I was picking my sort of fantasy Hollywood flight crew, pilot, co-pilot, airline attendant, who do I want to make me feel good? It's this crew.
Have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor? Joey. You ever hang around the gymnasium?
Joey, do you like movies about gladiators?
Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
All right, let's go to the Southwest flight. So the explosion has taken place. The engine isn't working. They're 20 minutes in. She's got to find a place to land. This is Southwest Flight Cut 1, Tammy Jo Schultz.
Southwest 1380 has an engine fire descending.
You're descending right now?
Yes, sir. We're single engine descending. Have a fire number one.
Hi, Southwest 1380. Okay, where would you like to go to? What airport?
Give us a vector for your closest.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
We're flying 250.
Couple of things jump out there, right? Again, the calm on both parts. She says, we just got one engine now. We're descending. And then he goes, well, where would you like to land? And she goes, I don't know, maybe the mall. And what have you got? And he goes, how about Philadelphia? I hear Philadelphia is nice this time of year. She goes, all right, we'll land in Philadelphia then. Just chit-chatting here. Cut number two. I actually think at times she displayed more calm than the air traffic controllers themselves.
Okay, heading 250. We're looking at Philly.
Southwest 1380, you have traffic just below you.
Southwest 1380, you're on approach frequency 128.4. You're where you should be. Maintain 4,000. And do you need any further assistance from me? What type of final do you want? I heard short or long.
Yeah, we're going to need a long final.
Going to need a long final. We're going to need a long approach. And then she just sort of casually drops in this little fun fact.
Southwest 1380. 1380, got a 1458 on frequency. I just cleared him for the approach. Southwest 1380. I understand your emergency. Let me know when you want to go in.
Yeah, we have a part of the aircraft missing, so we're going to need to slow down a bit.
Southwest 1380, speed is your discretion. Maintain at any altitude above 3,000 feet, and you let me know when you want to turn base.
All right. Down to 3,000, 210 on the speed.
3,000 feet, 210 is the speed. She says, you know, it could be worse. We're not on fire.
Southwest 1380, turn, just start turning southbound there. There's a Southwest 737 on a 4 mile final. We'll be turning southbound. Start looking for the airport. It's off to your right and slightly behind you there. And altitude is your discretion. Use caution for the downtown area.
Okay, could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Injured passengers, okay. And are you? Is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing.
Can you imagine? No, we're not on fire, but it's not all here anymore. This is the most bizarre part of the conversation, cut five.
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out? South of 1380, it doesn't matter. We'll work it out there. So the airport's just off to your right. Report it in sight, please.
In sight. South of 1380, airport's in sight.
Airport's in sight. Somebody exited the building. I mean, do you hear the tone in this woman's voice? And he's like in the Sullenberger thing where they said both engines. He's incredulous. He said, did I just hear you correctly?
Well, I think he's also helping encourage her, like, let's stay calm.
Yeah.
Let's get this aircraft on the ground and then we can figure out the details, which there's a lot of other passengers, you know, at risk.
Lives at stake. Absolutely.
But so, how else is she supposed to tell him that fact? Screaming?
I know. Well, all I'm saying is, I appreciate her intelligence, cool, calm, and collected demeanor, because sometimes while you know screaming is, who has screamed when they knew it wasn't really helping? It's what human beings do.
It's so reassuring, don't you? I mean, I listen
totally.
To that, and I feel so much better. I mean, even yesterday, before we knew a lot of these details, just the fact that they could have this happen and set down somewhere.
Yeah.
And with the, I mean, the fatality is tragic, obviously,
but
look what might have happened.
And this is the first time a passenger has died in a commercial airline accident since a commuter flight to New York in 2009. I mean, as awful as this is, you have some takeaways here. Air travel is insanely safe. And listen to the professionals who go into action with this professionalism when things go badly. I know we got to take a break, but let's just play cut 5A. It's just a repeat of part of what you just heard. These are the people that you do sort of entrust your life to.
They said there was a hole and someone went out.
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out? South of 1380, it doesn't matter. We'll work it out.
Don't worry. We'll work it out. It's like, I just can't believe what I heard. I don't have time to worry about that. We've got to work this thing out. We'll pick it up here in a minute. You just heard that White Sox baseball comes your way at 2. That's the pregame coverage. And then 2:35, the first pitch in Oakland. Elif will get us the forecast for that here in just a second. Elif, go back to cut 4 just to set the stage a little bit. We are playing back the cockpit transmission from that Southwest flight piloted by Tammy Joe Schultz.
Southwest 1380, turn, just start turning southbound there. There's a Southwest 737 on a 4 mile final. We'll be turning southbound. Start looking for the airport. It's off to your right and slightly behind you there. And altitude is your discretion. Use caution for the downtown area.
Okay, could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Injured passengers, okay. And is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing.
Her. She's the one you want flying your next plane. So let's go now, Elif, to a cut 6 Southwest flight. So she's visually picking up the runway in Philadelphia, makes a left turn, goes, oh, there's a runway. And she is descending, and in this cut, she is ready to land.
Southwest 1380, you're cleared. Visual approach 27 right. Contact the tower on 118.5. Southwest 13, I'm sorry, clear visual approach 27 left. 27 left and towers on 18.5.
She makes the turn and she lands. We don't have any dramatic landing audio here, But listen to the transmission. Well, now she's on the ground, and she's essentially taxiing. She's got to figure out where to put this airplane.
Southwest 1380, right turn when you're able. You want to stop wherever you need to is fine.
Thank you. We're going to stop right here by the fire truck. Thanks, guys, for the help.
I just am so impressed with the tone of her voice. Well, we'll just stop here by these fire trucks. How convenient. And thanks for the help, everybody. I mean, that she has the sort of wherewithal to then thank everybody when you think your first instinct would be, get me out of here, is impressive. Is impressive. Cut number 8, Elif. Hit that.
Thanks, guys, for the help.
Listen to that voice. That's Tammy Jo Schultz. It's 128. Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. By the way, I hope they don't make a movie about this. You know, they made one about Sully.
Oh, it's already been, it's in the works.
I don't know who the pilot is. Oh, I know who the pilot is. Who's the pilot in this? Who's the pilot?
Sandra Bullock.
No, yeah, kind of, maybe. I'm looking younger. I'm thinking redhead.
No, not younger. I think this pilot, she's older, isn't she?
I'm still thinking young. It's Hollywood, baby. Know, work with me.
Cate Blanchett?
Yeah. I'll get your name here in a second.
You can't think of who you're thinking of. I know you.
Yeah, it's true. But
where's she from?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
She's a comedian.
She's not a comedian, but she needs to...
Okay, no, I got it on the redhead.
You need credit to older women.
Okay, so, well, let's not... All right, who do you have in mind, Steve?
I can't think of
Angelina Jolie.
The woman from...
we know how you guys work.
The wife from The Sopranos. Edie Falco.
Yeah. Falco. She'd be good.
I don't know. She doesn't strike me as calm, cool, and collected. Maybe she is.
She had a little grit there.
It's 129. Well, Sully, the movie, was terrific with Tom Hanks. I thought, well, this is dumb. It's a one-note story, and we know how it goes. It went really well, actually. That was a surprisingly good film. We were talking in the last half hour. We played back some of the audio. This is John Williams. We're here until 2 o'clock on WGN Radio, then pregame coverage. You heard of White Sox baseball. We've been talking about that Southwest Airlines incident and the demeanor, the behavior, the composure of pilot Tammy Jo Schultz. I said, I hope they don't make a movie about this, but if they do, who would play the pilot? And the text messages include these. John, about the movie Sully, what most of us didn't know before the movie was how the airline and the NTSB tried to make Sully the bad guy. They tried to make it his fault. That was the big point of the movie for me. Thanks, says Judy. Yeah, I remember that, Judy. That helped the movie a lot because it was a pretty narrow story otherwise, and I knew none of that until I saw the film. John, if you need a lookalike to play Tammy Jo Schultz, that would be Allison Janney. Somebody else said, how about Allison Janney? This texter says, that's how the military is during an emergency, John. Calm, cool, and collected. The three C's. Always take charge and relay necessary information and direct the people. Yeah, that's true, too. If you've ever made a 911 call, and I have once, and I started to lose my composure as I was describing this bus crash that I saw, and the woman just cut me off, and she said, sir, you know, where are you? What is it? And I was starting to, you know, I was doing that. And she just, you know, like slapped me over the phone, said, I don't need that. I need this. John, she looks like Kristen Wiig. John, looking at a recent photo, how about Jane Seymour? And somebody else said who I was thinking. She reminds me of Jessica Chastain. That's the one I was thinking of, Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain.
Speaking of redheads, hey, King John, were you thinking of Mad Men's Christina Hendricks as the female pilot? No, I was not.
Oh, gosh.
I do think of her, but I don't think of her in that way.
She might be the flight attendant.
Let's not degrade this now.
No, let's not.
It's just a joke.
One other thing. Oh, yeah. Elif, what is the weather going to be like in Oakland for the White Sox game?
At 12:30 p.m. Pacific time in Oakland, it's going to be 58 degrees with winds at 13 miles an hour, 61% sky cover, and no wind chill.
Still 58.
So can I read you that thing about Governor Lamb?
Barbara Bush was interviewed by R. Roy Leonard in 1984 when the book that she wrote about their dog, See Fred's Story, was out. She was doing the rounds, and she was talking about how old her dog is. But the dog doesn't like talking about its age, she playfully told Roy. What with all of the bad publicity about age in the news those days.
And she said Governor
Lamb,
from wherever he is.
Yeah.
So I looked
said
it
something
up.
Bad about getting old.
Yeah, I looked it up. And this was 84. And this was, as I recall, the time, you know, when people were on life support and the arguments over that and everything. And he said, Governor Lamb, at 48 years old, he said, you've got a duty to die and get out of the way. Let our society, our kids, build a reasonable life. So he was talking about people who went on life support for a long time, and he said ruined the economic health of the country.
How old was Colorado Governor Lamb at the time?
He was 48 years old.
Easy for him to say.
Yeah, right. He wasn't willing to do it. Now, the New York Times points out that the governor was given to saying outrageous things. For example, he recently angered Nevada officials by saying that 1 in 8 women under the age of 45 in Las Vegas was a prostitute. he's 3 terms there.
That's the sort of loose attention to facts that we're used to now, but weren't then.
No.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good.
By the way, I just want to also mention the interview that our Roy Leonard. And Roy Leonard, I interned here when I was a kid. I listened to him when he was on the air every day. We all did. Nobody interviewed better than Roy Leonard. In his conversation with Barbara Bush, is on the front page of our website, WGNradio.com. It's wonderful time travel. I recommend it. So how have you been?
I've been good. Enjoying this lovely January weather.
Yeah, what's the date, did you say?
It's January 74th.
That's it exactly. Does this depress you, this weather?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm okay. You know, I don't work outdoors. That helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is enough is enough.
You know how weather begets certain kinds of food. And this is like chili and hearty soup and pot roast comfort weather food.
I was talking about this with a chef this morning, saying the chefs are eager to pull in their spring menus. And you look outside and it's not spring. It's you know, roast beast and beef cheek weather.
I know, totally. I walked by a Gap window this week, and they have flip-flops on the mannequins there with short sleeves and short shirts, and I laughed. I said, well, good luck selling any of that.
That's right.
We just aren't in the mood for it. You wrote a review of Bar Biscay.
Yeah.
Bigger box gives MFK team more room to play. What's Bar Biscay?
Bar Biscay is the second restaurant from the folks behind MFK, which is a very tiny place on Diversey, a little below street level, very cool. Gives you the impression of it being sunny and mild all the time. It's all influenced by the cuisine of coastal Spain. In Bar Biscay, they've acquired a bigger space in Westtown, Ukrainian Village, and they've got a lot of Spanish influence as well, but now they're going a little bit north, and they go into a little bit of the south of France as well, and they kind of centered on the Basque region, which kind of be in between Spain and France. And so it starts Basque, and they go a little southern, and they go a little bit northern, but it's all the Bay of Biscay is on the Atlantic coast of France and Spain.
You're making it sound, though, like there's a kind of food that's indigenous to that area.
It is. They focus on those kind of ingredients, and it's that kind of vibe and mindset.
Yeah, but like, I don't know what those are.
Well, it's very seafood focused. A lot of pinchos, which we might consider as Spanish tapas, and they would argue about that. But the concept is the same. Little bites, maybe single bites, double bites. The thing about pinchos is they're always skewered. If it's going to be a pincho, it's skewered. But potato, patata, or patatas bravas or something.
Right.
And they do a lot of those, a lot of small plates. They have some big plates. And in my mind, the big plates on this menu are there for the people who get scared by little plates.
Yeah.
So they got a big chicken in case that's where your comfort level is. But really, for me, the action is all those little small plates. They have a whole section called mano a boca, meaning hand to mouth, which means finger food. In a little slightly more elegant way of saying it.
What are one of the dishes you really liked?
I love the they do this nduja, which is kind of a salami, except it's really spreadable and it's spicy. It comes from the Calabrian region of Italy, and they put that on a piece of toast and put a little bit of chorizo in with the nduja, and then put a pickled egg quarter on top of that, and they spear it, and it's just delicious. And it's a great little bite. They give you three of them, so you're not restricted to that one bite. They do another dish. It sounds strange when I say it out loud, but it's a mix on the plate of spring peas and squid sausage, chopped up very fine, so you don't see big pieces of squid in there. It's just in and among the peas. It's got a piece of toast, very long, thin piece of toast, topped with bell peppers, pepper rods, little sweet peppers.
Yeah.
And it's just all the flavors seem so fresh. They seem so spring-like, especially the peas. It just tastes coastal. And especially right now, I mean, I'm just thinking of it. I'm talking myself into going back. I need one of those right now.
Now, it always sounds good when you describe food, particularly since you just used the phrase squid sausage. And I like sausage, but I ain't eating no squid sausage, Jack. And maybe I will, because you make it sound good.
Right.
What does squid sausage taste like?
Well, it's got a bit of a squiddy texture. It's not really rubbery if you do it right, but it's ground really fine. You'd have a hard time if you got a phantom spoonful in your mouth going, right, who put squid in there? That would not be the reaction you'd have.
Hmm. You like the desserts, and funny line, you said they've doubled the desserts of its predecessor.
Right.
Which means they now have
two. They only had one of that. MFK is very, very small, and they have no room to make desserts. So they have this one sort of make-ahead basket cake, which is this buttery, crumbly, yellowish cake, very dense, and it's wonderful. It just tastes so good. It's like a stick of butter with some flour holding it together.
Nothing wrong
sweet
with that.
No.
So what's the other dessert they serve?
But now they don't have it over there. I can't believe it. They could have really taken the break and said, yeah, bring over the basket cake. We'll have that here too. But they didn't. They have cream puffs. Now you think of, you have a mental image when I say cream puff. Now think cream puff the size of your fist. It's a big cream puff, and it's full of whatever they can put in there. There's one with pistachio cream with a little orange glaze on top. There's an espresso cream, which is kind of like your chocolate thing. And then cherry cream with a little vanilla almond on top. Mm. And they're just, I mean, you bite into it and they kind of gush a little bit. I mean, it's a shared dessert. I would take a thin knife and cut it into quarters and eat it that way. And then they have a little crepe dish. Fruit crepe. Very simple, but a well-made crepe. And they're also keening for the warm weather in the summer when they'll have better fruit to pop in there.
Do they do a brunch outdoors?
Not yet. No. They have no outdoor space.
Oh, okay.
I take that back. There is a sidewalk. I don't know if they're allowed to have a sidewalk cafe. The last restaurant that was in there did have one. So we shall see.
I want to read your last sentence or paragraph and get you to comment on this. The atmosphere can't hear my server loud, though I note that music, when you can discern it, plays at modest volume. At my table, we joke that we could only hear the bass lines. The noise is the symphony of happy chatter and full tables, music no doubt to the owner's ears. Oh, sure, I suppose the owner loves it. But
right.
I'm telling you, I've walked in and out of restaurants, mm-hmm. and we're just popping in someplace and say, oh, let's try this. If the volume hits me like a wall, I don't go in. That may be about me, but...
But it's legitimate.
But I think it is. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm so used to being on the job when I walk into restaurants. But there have been one or two places that I walked into and said, I'm not enjoying myself. It was really, really
impressive. Is this place like that?
No. You know, of the three visits I went there for, one of them was kind of like that. And part of it was there were a couple of larger tables of younger adults who were drinking and chatting happily, and my wife has a mathematical formula she worked out years ago about number of drinks served divided by the average age at the table times the number of people at the table, and that's your
volume quotient.
Right, and you know, it's wow, I can't, you know, the shrieking laughter kind of gets to me sometimes. But yeah, some people, they don't like that, and I hate to say it, but well, the younger you are, the less you mind it.
You sound like you're relatively immune to that. That didn't factor significantly into your review.
No.
2 stars out of 4, but it's a strong review from Phil Vitale.
It is, yeah, I really like this place.
Bar Biscay, you said Roscoe or Ukrainian?
Ukrainian village.
Ukrainian village.
Way out there on Chicago Avenue, 1450, about 2 doors down from what used to be Green Zebra, which I miss.
We're out of time.
All right.
We're out of time. We got to take a break. We got to get ready for White Sox baseball. Read Phil Vitale online, chicagotribune.com/dining. They have a print edition, and you won't see his picture, but you'll see the words and the photographs of the food that he's talking about. Bar Biscay today. It's always a pleasure. Phil, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
You betcha. It's 151. I think we have time maybe for just another Barbara Bush cut or two. We are remembering her through a terrific interview that our Roy Leonard did with the former First Lady in 1984, a book that was to encourage kids to read. She published about her dog. See Fred's Story was the title of the book. She was a woman who, among other things, said she sort of lived by the golden rule.
Barbara Bush says that, and I'm quoting now, she says, "I'm old-fashioned. If your husband asks you to do something, if it's physically possible, you say yes."
Right. When somebody you love asks you to do something, your children or your husband or your mother-in-law, all of whom I love, or my friends, if it's physically possible, I try to say yes. And I might add, they all do the same to me.
What a nice interview. So good to hear Roy Leonard's voice. If you're new to that man, you'll just enjoy it. Just imagine, well, it's Roy Leonard. He was just a terrific talent. And it's nice to hear him for those of us who remember him and listened to him for many years. And Barbara Bush, a younger version. How old did she say she was in that interview?
She was 58
at the time. It's 157. We're getting ready for White Sox baseball on WGN. White Sox baseball here on WGN Radio. 50s and breezy in Oakland. But better than here. By the way, we were just talking about weather and how Anthony Rizzo said that baseball plays too many games in St. Louis today. Partly cloudy, 67. I guess it's insane to imagine the team saying, oh, let's just run down to St. Louis and play, but they ain't playing on the north side. This is WGN Chicago.